Hey everybody, I'm Jeff, and this is Casual Chats in a Parallel Universe. My dad and I have been having daily conversations about family, history, life lessons, movies, news, music, and more. Now we are sharing these chats with you. So welcome to our podcast, and we hope you enjoy.
Let's just start from the beginning.
Oh, here. Okay.
Okay.
Me
welcome
too.
Welcome to Casual Chats.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The soothing patter.
Soothing patter.
In your life. Yeah. You know,
okay.
That's what I'm
at about 75%.
Oh, just 75?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm still having problems with my leg pain and not sleeping well.
Oh, wow, so. The way you came in here, I felt like you were shot out of a cannon.
Well, I can put on a good face.
Dee saying she felt the energy when you came in.
Oh.
Yeah, you were bringing it.
Well, I can pump it up for you.
Hey,
we can.
You were bringing the A game. I feel like I'm the one over here who's a little
I remember
a little
when
slow
I was,
on the uptake.
When I was in, when Mom and I used to do the yearly stage performance with our group of friends.
Oh, like the Follies or whatever.
Yeah.
That used to be a big thing.
Director used to come out and say, okay, performance level, let's go. Step it up. We're going out on stage. So is that where we are?
That's where you are.
I'm stoked, man.
Maybe you're just happy to be here and out of the house and
I'm just
away
happy to
from
be.
Mom.
I'm happy to be. I'm just happy to be existing. That's what I am.
Okay. Well, that's
in my car, my new car.
In your new car?
You can't.
Porsche.
My Porsche 911 Turbo S.
There you go.
What I've set my sights on my whole life.
That Ferdinand Porsche.
Had to be sometime in my life I was going to get one.
I mean, is it Porsche or is it Porsche?
Porsche.
Oh, God.
Could be Porsche.
That was the whole bit on Tosh. Remember? Did you listen to that episode with his car broker?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
That
but funny. I do love Tosh.
He said, is it Porsche or is it Porsche? And the car broker says, well, it's Ferdinand Porsche, the guy who created the car.
Yeah.
So it's Porsche.
Well, he's German.
And he's like, oh, God. That's disgusting.
That sounds like Tosh. He's always jamming it. He always jams it to you, no matter what.
He's good.
He is funny.
He's a good comedian.
Yeah.
We're talking comedy today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we love. And so
we do. Well,
my dad came in like a firecracker. Just never seen him. Just lit up and ready to go. And started the podcast. We weren't even rolling. And so we're backing it up a little bit for the audience.
Thank God for the voice of reason.
Our listeners. I mean, we can just shut it all off and just have a combo.
Should we let these people catch up? I mean, they got to.
Let's get in.
Our people need to step their game up. If they're going to be part of Casual Chats, man. I mean, let's just bring your A game.
Oh, okay. Taking the casual part out of casual chats, is what you're saying.
It's
no longer casual anymore,
it's
people.
It's chat's ass.
Let's pull the pants up.
Chat's ass.
Let's pull them up by the bootstraps.
Okay.
Huh? Let's get them there. Okay. So let's talk about your idol. One of your favorite comics.
Being the age that I am, an old fart, I grew up.
I didn't know that was an age.
That is an age. Old fart.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
I am part of the silent generation, as prior listeners know that because we talked about that many episodes ago.
Yes.
That is the people born 1945 and earlier. Mm-hmm. So I would expect to be silent, but I came in ready to go.
Man.
So.
You jumped in there.
I could jump up into the boomer category.
Go. Yeah, I mean, you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
45.
Yeah.
You know, you're...
So I grew up with more of the Borscht Belt comedians, you know, the guys that would, one-liner comics, and they'd be on, in the 50s on the Ed Sullivan Show, and, a lot of the comics would be on these variety shows, and so it was more one-liners.
What about a guy like Lenny Bruce? Where is
Lenny,
he?
Lenny Bruce was not on TV. I mean, he was on TV later, but he was more of a like a supper club or a club comic. Mm-hmm. And he was cutting edge. I mean, the most of the comics didn't do what they call blue comedy. So that would be using profanity.
Right.
Or sexual situations. Ooh. Or that type of thing. Mm. So it was more clean stuff that was just silly, funny, you know. But nevertheless, you know, kind of keyed into your culture or, you know, your life and making that funny.
Right.
So, but I think Cosby was the first guy that, he was the first guy that I really thought was just an incredibly funny man. And I got like sucked in and, you know, bought one of his albums, you know, started memorizing every single routine and driving mom nuts because I repeat, that's where that zip zop thing, you know, came in when I did the, when I was having surgery and I went zip zop and that was from one of his routines.
Oh.
But anyway, so I bought, funny. You know, his albums and
I never knew that the zip zop was a
yeah, it was routine. Zip zop, your face is ripped to shreds. That was one of his punchlines. But he was just, he was incredibly funny. His humor was based on, his life.
Right.
So it's more like, Ray Romano. Yeah.
Well, he's a good storyteller.
He is. As was Ray Romano. I don't know if you've ever seen Romano's stand up.
I've seen his stand up.
Yeah. But that's the kind of humor. He's always talking about his family and,
right.
You know. Wife, kids, that type of thing.
What about Pryor? Because you had some Richard Pryor albums.
I did. And he was another one that I memorized, you know, a lot of his routines and stuff.
No, he did the blue comedy.
He was definitely blue. Definitely blue. Whereas Cosby was not.
No,
didn't never. I don't think he ever even used a curse word in any of his routines.
Right.
Same for the TV show. But on the other hand, Pryor was, that was the first time I realized, it's because Bill Cosby was black, but he didn't play the black man. You know, his comedy, even though he was black and all of the things he talked about his family and their experiences,
right.
You didn't get the sense that he was really talking about being black,
what it meant to be.
I mean, he talked about being poor,
right?
And he talked about living in, you know, kind of poor circumstances, but he never really talked about what it was to be black,
right?
Whereas, you know, it when you listen to Pryor, you definitely got the sense,
sure,
of what it was like. And especially, I mean, he was talking.
His comedy embraced it.
It did embrace it. I mean, he talked about his life, you know, being raised in a, he lived in a brothel.
Right.
With his grandma, I guess it was his grandmother or his mother. I can't recall. But anyway, but he was so funny. And then he, you know, springboarded that into the movies.
Right.
With, what's his
name? Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, right.
The Gene Wilder.
Willy Wonka, mm-hmm, in Poison.
Yep.
But he was...
Stir Crazy.
Great movies. Funny movies. But Pryor was... He was fabulous. Another comedic genius that spawned probably most of the comedians, you know, today. I mean, except for... When I say... I'm talking about guys like Chris Rock would be, you know...
Eddie
disciples.
Murphy.
Yeah. Oh, Eddie Murphy for sure. Talk about a funny guy. Oh, my God. But then you look at a guy like Seinfeld, and he's so totally different. Mom doesn't like him. You know, she just can't. His kind of comment, he's more of a, you know, comment on something or somebody.
It's funny because I just saw a video clip of him on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and he said that his comedy is basically just complaining about life.
Yeah.
But he tries to make it in a funny
way. Otherwise, if it's not, if it ain't funny,
right,
you ain't gonna be very long. But yeah, no, I just find, I mean, just talking about what is funny. I was watching before I came over. I just happened to be watching on my phone an old video of the Carol Burnett Show.
Right.
And there was a guy on Carol Burnett. There were two guys. One was Harvey Korman. And gosh, now I'm having a moment. I can't think of his name. Very famous.
The Don something? Am I wrong?
No, it wasn't Don. But anyway, so the
Tim Conway?
Yeah, Tim Conway. So there were two skits. One was this famous skit with where Tim Conway was playing a dentist and Harvey Korman was sitting in the dental chair. And so the dentist was accidentally injected his hand with Novocaine.
Hmm.
And that started this whole series of events where he keeps accidentally sticking himself, you know, in the head and in the leg with Novocaine. And of course, Harvey Korman, that by itself was funny.
Right.
But Harvey Korman completely loses it. And he's laughing so hard on that the audience is going berserk. You know, they're just out of their minds.
Sure.
with laughter. But it's just the silliness of it, you know, just being totally ridiculous.
And that's Stacey's kind of humor. She likes like slapstick.
Oh, she does.
Type comedy.
Yeah. Well, that's what they used to have on, you know, skit comedy, where they'd have on little
sketches.
Yeah. But I don't know. The other one was the one that I was laughing at so hard was the skit was about a cut rate airline, and they had the cabin separated into low class and ultra low class.
Oh.
And the carpet actually stopped after low class. And where ultra low class started. There was no carpet. They used the bins overhead to store extra parts for the airplane that where they fell out on top of him, and the window was covered up by a cover, and when he pulled the cover off, there was no window. Mm. And, you know,
it sounds like some of the airlines today.
Yeah, well, the funniest part about the whole thing was they're up in the air, and the captain comes on and says there's going to be some turbulence, and only the part of the plane that's the ultra low class is jumping up and down. Turbulent. The rest of the plane is just so ridiculous. But it was funny as hell. It was really, really funny.
Well, what we were talking about was, so Bill Cosby being one of your idols, being one of the funnier guys, obviously, his name these days it isn't necessarily synonymous with comedy as much as it is that he, you know, has gotten himself
canceled.
No, I mean,
because
he got himself into trouble.
He did. He was putting Quaaludes in women's drinks and knocking them out and then having sex with them without their knowledge.
Right.
So that wasn't very nice.
Mm-mm. And so where do you put that? How do you, I mean, as a fan of somebody.
Well, I'm in the camp.
Because there's other, you know, there's other artists who, like, look at Michael Jackson and all the controversy that surrounded his private life. You know, so do you not listen to his music?
No, I listen to his music for sure.
Yeah, his music's amazing.
And I listen very well, very tightly to Bill Cosby's humor still.
Right.
And so I know it's like, you know, if you look at the lives of certain artists, you know, like Picasso, I mean, he was just a miserable bastard.
Right.
To the women that he was involved in with and with the people in general. He was not a nice person.
Sure.
But do I love his art? I do. You know, Salvador Dali, my favorite artist, it was a whack job. He was a complete and total whack job. But I don't care.
Right.
You know, his art was incredible. I love his art. And but going back to comedy, I mean, Louis C.K., as an example, and you know, another person that got canceled,
right,
because of stuff that happened. You know, part of the whole Me Too, you know, that started with Harvey Weinstein,
sure,
and then it just kind of went crazy. After that, you know, people were discovered because people came out on social media and started raising issues,
right,
with people in the media, you know, various situations with media. But I just feel like, you know, the art is the art, no matter who created it.
Can transcend the
issue. Yeah. I mean, I
you don't have to like the person.
No.
But you can like the art.
I mean, yeah, there are, I know that. Do I condone anything that Bill Cosby did?
No.
But on the same token, I mean, when I went to Mom and I saw Cosby in a club in Denver,
right,
you know, where he was performing, you know, in close quarters where you could really feel like you were right there with him. And
he tried to drug Mom?
No, not quite.
Oh.
No, we were at that time it was not known, but that being said, you know, we went in the club. He was sitting, you know, back in the back, you know, at a large table,
sure,
and he was surrounded by women, you know, just all seated around him, fawning all over him, and he was getting drinks for everybody. And I mean, you could tell, I mean, this guy is he's a player, and he clearly was spreading the joy to women. And he was, of course, married with I think 5 kids. So, you know, I'm not a proponent of that kind of behavior, but nonetheless, he's a funny guy. So it's, you know, am I going to keep myself from the experience because I don't find his personal lifestyle, you know, of interest to me? No. I mean, I loved his comedy, and I still do.
I personally think it's less, you know, obviously it's less about the art itself, and it's more about the benefit that they're receiving from said art. I think that's what people, when people are looking to cancel somebody, I mean, I guess I could be completely wrong, but you know, you look at people that have been canceled and their art does transcend who they are, right? But most, yeah, people do not want that. I would think they're like, okay, well, we don't want any, you know, we don't want to pay for anything for that person. Well, I don't want to pay to buy his album anymore because that means he's then receiving, yeah, the money. So therefore, and I don't want to be supporting someone,
yeah,
who has done wrongdoing.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, you know, just to listen to something or see an old video clip or something like that, you know, and enjoy it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line.
Well, there,
right?
Yeah.
To the protest, because I mean, look, while I completely understand what you're saying, because there are artists, you know, I think Louis C.K. is hilarious. I've watched Cosby specials and enjoyed them. Like I said before, I grew up with the Cosby Show when I was, yeah, a kid. It was like one of my favorite shows. But you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you say, okay, this person did something wrong, and I'm not a huge, you know, supporter of, hey, let's cancel somebody, but also they, you know, to the trauma that they caused other people. I mean, if that was your daughter that, yeah, that happened to,
well,
would you the albums? Like, what do you, what would you do?
Would I make it my life's work to go out and make sure that all of his albums are burnt? No,
no,
no. I mean, I'm not that kind of a person.
No, but would you in effect rid your life of him? Like, would you not then, or if my
daughter was one of his,
one of the victims,
that's a different story. But
sure,
my daughter is not part of that.
I understand that, but you can be empathetic to somebody else that their daughter
maybe
was. I can
be empathetic,
yeah,
but there are lines that, you know, each person has to you know, draw their own conclusions. It's, sure. If life would be kind of ridiculous if, you know, the people that argue that, you know, somebody like Louis C.K. to me is a perfect example. I think he got, he absolutely got screwed. You know, what he did might have been like disgusting on a, just a, on a personal level, but he told those women what he was planning on doing.
Right.
And they made the decision to sit in the room with him while he did what he did. So I have no, and then for them to then go off on him, you know, and say, oh, we need to cancel. And they were successful. I mean, they absolutely canceled
him. Oh, yeah, he got destroyed.
Yeah, they destroyed his career.
Yeah.
And you know, how long, I mean, he was very, you know, he did everything he could to apologize, you know, did, unlike, you know, people like Cosby. I mean, Louis C.K. tried to rehabilitate himself.
But there's also a big difference. I mean, Louis C.K. didn't cross the line into actually drugging and raping
somebody. Oh, yeah.
He was doing more of a perverted act in front of
completely canceled. They right. ruined his.
They did.
They ruined yeah. his yes. life, and they made sure. Well, they ruined his professional life. I don't know what it did. I'm sure it had a very major effect on his personal life. But I just I thought that one went way too far.
I mean, look at people like Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, off of one comment.
Who her life has been berserk. Completely ruined. Or look at Al Franken, you know, who was in the government, who had actually successfully ran into the government. And later it was found out that it was a total farce.
Yeah.
But his life had already, he had already stepped down.
Yeah,
and his life he had already been, you know.
Well, I think he was smart in that he knew... You know, that they, this group had it in for him. And what is he going to do? You know, what he's going to try to, you know, maintain. And they've got, of course, when you've got the press behind you, you know, and you've got, and that the cancel culture was just really, I mean, they were really building up a head of steam. So everybody was, all you had to do was just raise the specter.
Right.
And all of a sudden you were guilty. But, I mean, Weinstein was the one that he's another one that's of the same ilk or worse than Bill Cosby.
Weinstein's a piece of garbage.
Yeah, he is a piece of garbage.
That came out
to me
100%.
Yeah. But I mean, then you've got, you got all these movies that the Weinstein Company produced.
Right.
And so do you cancel that?
Right.
Because Harvey Weinstein got this stuff made, and some people will, I guess, I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of people, you know, singing the praises of Weinstein, but I know before he got found out, man, every one of these women from, you know, if they were accepting an award, were calling out Harvey and saying what a fabulous person he was and what a wonderful, you know, part of their lives he was.
Sure.
So, it's of course, those were, you know, those were the times, and these people felt like if they didn't call him out and say thanks for everything, Harvey, that he would cancel them.
Right.
So,
and he absolutely could. He could ruin a career.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And maybe he did. Maybe he ruined some in the process.
It's funny, his brother. It's like his brother just never got sucked in. I don't know. Maybe he did. But I never did hear anything about his brother. I'm not saying his brother was of the same ilk in his what he did
right
with his personal life. But you know, there was two brothers that owned the Weinstein Company. So I never heard very much about the brother. I think his publicist did a great job of managing to separate him from his brother.
I mean, it's interesting, and having, you know, I obviously never worked in that capacity lived in Los Angeles, worked in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it's I mean, some people give anything to be able to be in a movie or, you know, how do you break in, you know, and willing, some people are willing to do whatever, whatever it takes, you know, and so you have people that are going to be scumbags and that are going to take advantage of you no matter, you know,
It doesn't even have to go the sex route. I mean, it can go just as you know better than I do. I mean, you had situations in on an individual basis, you know, with people of power, you know, in the field where, you know, they might just not like you.
Right.
Or you're not their cup of tea. And but they're yet they're in a position of power and all of a sudden, you know, you're just out because they just decided they feel like kicking your ass out and putting you out of a job and they don't care, you know, that you might have a wife and kids and whatever. They just,
so most of the time they just didn't like being challenged. And so if you challenge the authority, then they're going to make an example out of you.
They don't. So power. That's the whole thing. Power. But I mean, just, you know, getting back to the comedic part, you look at, I mean, talking about Seinfeld these guys that we're talking about are very wealthy in the main are very wealthy people. I mean, I don't know what Cosby's situation is financially, but I mean, he was an incredibly wealthy person
At the time before the hammer came down.
Yeah. I mean, I think even Richard Pryor at one time was, I think Pryor's problem was he just couldn't manage money. Plus the fact that he got into drugs multiple times and screwed himself over with that. But I mean, you look at people like Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy for that matter. And look at, these guys are incredibly wealthy people.
Sure.
I mean, Seinfeld is a billionaire. He's, you know, with his ownership of the show with Larry David. And I'm sure Larry David is a billionaire because not only was he co-involved with Seinfeld in owning the show, at least for part of the time.
Right.
He went on to with
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that's gone on for, I don't know, what, like 8 or 9 seasons or something? Or 10?
I think there was a hiatus at one point. Like
I know they wrapped, called it quits.
And then they came back. And now I think this is the final. I think this is the final.
But Larry David's show is just, you know, he's just a situational comedy guy.
Yeah.
He comes up with these wild, crazy situations. And
Curb himself out to look like a lunatic, which is really what's the funniest part of it, because most of it is stuff that, you know, it's your normal average mundane stuff, and he takes it to a level.
Well, he takes that personality and just launches it into outer space. It's so ridiculous,
right?
You know, his persona, and yet when you hear him talk, I saw Rich Eisen, the sportscaster, interview him, Larry David.
Right.
And you can just tell that Eisen idolizes Larry David.
Sure.
And so they just talk about, you know, the silliness. And even Larry David will say, he said, this stuff is nuts.
You know, well, it's funny because I heard an interview about, you know, there was a Seinfeld about how George did something, went in and quit the job.
Yeah.
And then he left and then he realized that it was a big mistake that he quit the job. So he just went back I think maybe Jerry or Kramer, one of the two told him, you know, we'll just go back. And he went back and acted like nothing ever happened. And that was based on. It was true event where I think he was working at Saturday Night Live. I think
he was working at Saturday Night Live,
and he did say he told
Lorne Michaels
to shove it.
Yeah, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Like gone.
Big rant. Left. Showed back up the next day.
Well, he went the story because I heard Larry David tell it. He actually not Kramer in the show, but the real Kramer, his buddy in New York.
Sure.
he went and talked to him. And he said, he told Larry David, he said, hey, just show up on Monday. Just walk back in like everything's just fine. And
nothing
and,
ever
and,
happened.
And like, don't even, even if the guy says, hey, you quit. He said, no, no, I was just joking around. It's just silly.
You know me?
No, of course. What do you think? I'm crazy. But it's the world's greatest gig. I'm not going to. And he, and it worked. It absolutely worked. They let him stay on. Unbelievable, some of the stuff that takes place. But they, you know, I mean, I didn't like Curb Your Enthusiasm as much as I liked Seinfeld. I don't know, the characters just didn't do it for me. But I mean, some of it, you know, I've seen a few episodes. Yeah, I thought they were funny.
Right.
But I mean, it's just the profanity. It's just everything is just over the top. It's just not, and I'm not, you know me, I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination. But geez, you know, it's, I think it's just so over the top with some of the characters. So, I mean, even though I love Seinfeld and I love Larry David and love the show, I just couldn't get into Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What so, about you? You ever think about trying to get into comedy?
I did. I thought, you know, especially when I was listening to Cosby and more so, I guess, when I was listening to, maybe it was Richard Pryor, you know, I thought maybe I could get up and I thought, you know, Andrea, your cousin, she was, I remember there was, I don't know how many times, you know, she said she was going to do it and she just never could pull the trigger.
I thought she did get up a couple of times.
Nope.
No.
Nope. She never did it. But the other one, I just was just thinking my current main squeeze is Bill Burr. Drop dead funny to me.
Yeah.
Mom, you know, Mom's sense of humor and mine are just, I mean, she loves, Everybody Loves Raymond. That she just thinks is fabulous, but she just, nothing, you know.
The crude stuff. It's the like I feel because Stacey's very much the same way that she doesn't like the real crude and like toilet humor. She's not a fan of that, you know.
Yeah.
And but she, like I said, she loves like a good slapstick, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody like the episode, one of the Friends episodes where Ross can't get his pants, you know, goes in and he has these leather pants on and he ends up like screwing him up and he can't get him up.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's like trying to pull him up. Yeah, and like that she just has her in tears.
That was an incredibly funny. Mom and I sat and I think one weekend we started the series and we watched the entire 10 years worth in a weekend.
Sure.
We started, you know, we'd get up in the morning and start them and then just ran the whole weekend and saw the whole thing. So it was just.
But there's Nate Bargatze. Have you listened to any of his stuff? I'm sure he's been on the comedy circuit for a long time, but he has become more elevated recently.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna say.
Well, what's his name?
Nate Bargatze.
Oh, Bargatze. Oh, I'll have to check him out.
He's got like two or three Netflix stand-up specials.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. And he's a clean guy. He doesn't use any profanity in his comedy. And Stacey really liked his stuff.
Well, there's several. I mean, I think I have watched several guys. Now we have not. I haven't been to a comedy club in a long time.
Yeah, Bargatze was here recently, and I would have loved to have gone to.
I would go with you. If there's somebody, is there a comedy club in Savannah?
No, they just perform at like the Savannah.
Oh,
theater.
At the. I wish there was
somebody else is coming. That's pretty funny. And I was like, oh, I'd go see that. But the tickets are so expensive. So the Bargatze's tickets were like $150 a pop. And I'm just like, I mean, for, you know, we're, yeah. for just being like, hey, we're going to go check this out. That's you know, for us, that's a little on the rich side.
I caught a guy on something. It's his, I can't remember. I think his name is like something like Lee Cho. Mm-hmm. He's a Korean. And his, you know, he was not born in Korea. He was born here in the U.S. Sure. But every, you know, his comedy is all about, he's married to a, I think he was raised in the South, you know, so people can't figure him out.
Right.
And he was funny.
Southern accent.
He was funny. Yeah. And he's going to be at, I think, in Hilton Head. So I looked him up, you know, what the tickets were going to be. And to get decent tickets, it was like $300.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's not cheap.
No.
So you go, well, do I really want to go see him?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I could go watch a special for, you know,
well, I think
streaming it for $14.99.
Well, I mean, I was watching Bill Burr on an interview show. He was on some, you know, podcast or YouTube
right.
Interview deal. And so he commented, you know, people, he said, look, these people that, he said, I'm not, he's got an acting career now. And
right.
he's doing some other stuff. But he was saying, listen, I've got a following. And if I come out with a new special, my people that like me and my humor, they're going to come every single time. And they're going to pay top dollar because they know I'm going to entertain them.
Right.
And so, and it doesn't matter about the 99.9% of the U.S. population that isn't going to go to a Bill Burr show. And that's the point. The point is, you know, these comedians, if they can break in and, you know, get a following, they can make a decent living. So it's not, these days, I don't know. I mean, I look at guys like George Carlin,
Love Carlin.
Oh, his command of the English language and his ability to, you know, make arguments and commentary on the most, you know, ridiculous viewpoints, or when I say viewpoints, not that I mean political,
right?
Especially politics and people being so narrow-minded and so unwilling to listen to any point of view except their own point.
Well,
of
his
view.
Way to just deconstruct everything right. and bring right. it down to this, like. Look, really, like this is where you're gonna like draw your
this
line
is,
in
this
the
is
sand.
The hill you're gonna
it?
Die
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
This, over this
bullshit.
This crap.
A word is
a word.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You
know, sticks and stones.
Yeah. So Carlin and that's the humor that. Thank God, but I think the guys these days are. I mean, you look at Jon Stewart, even though he didn't. I don't know whether he did stand up.
I think he did at one point, yeah.
But you look at Jon Stewart, I mean, if we didn't have these people, these comedy guys, I think for a period over the past 10 years or so, or maybe it was even 15 years, people were getting their news from a comedy channel.
Sure.
Because the comedy people were the only ones that were telling the truth.
Right.
So it's that, thank God for the comedy people. This is, I just watched Stewart's, he's back on Comedy Central on yeah, Monday
on
nights.
On the Daily Show, yeah.
Yeah, he's fabulous. And I watched him interview the woman that's the head of the, I think it's the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan. And he loves Lena Khan. He loves him some Lena Khan. And I thought she was impressive. You know, she's going after Apple and but he has to inject, you know, he manages to inject comedy right. into, because I mean, it is Comedy Central.
Well, but not only that, I mean, some of the stuff has gotten to such a level of absurdity.
Yeah.
That it's just like, how can you not laugh at it?
Yeah.
It's laughable. You
it
know,
is laughable
to see where some of these things are at, and where people, you know,
it's scary
where people are at, and to some extent, you know, the cancel culture definitely put itself down that path where not all of it, some of it was very much deserved, but there's plenty of it that starts to veer off into that world of absurdity
Well, a lot of these guys, it's interesting though, that when you look at like Comedy Central or the Daily Show is, a lot of these guys just didn't translate. You know, Trevor Noah came on. He was the guy that replaced, I don't know if he replaced Jon Stewart.
He did, yeah, he replaced Jon Stewart.
He just didn't translate.
Oh, really? Because in your eyes, he didn't.
No, no, he
was on the show for a long time.
He was, but their ratings were nowhere near what they were when Jon Stewart was on.
Because I watched some of the shows, and I thought he was excellent.
Well, I like John Oliver is another guy that makes commentary. He's got that
on HBO.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't think of the name of his
show. It's like an evening with John Oliver. Or
yeah, it's
like
an hour. Yeah.
But I have some friends that watch that religiously.
Oh, he's done some really, and he basically does investigative journalism with, you know, utilizing comedy in
last the prison, week tonight.
Last week tonight. They do investigative journalism, but they put it, you know, in a comedy vein.
Right.
It's just funny stuff, but it's quite serious. A lot of the stuff that they're talking about is really serious stuff, but they do it with a comedy twist on it. So,
well, as they always say, there's a little bit of truth in just kidding.
Yes.
Anytime anybody's like, oh no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, and of course, sometimes they're not kidding.
There's some truth in there, you know.
Yeah,
those jabs aren't always, you know, there's a little bit of truth in there.
Well, that's when Jon Stewart is, you know, kind of giving it to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
That's some serious shit that he's coming out with.
Well, I mean, while he is a left-leaning, person.
Yeah.
Obviously, but he's not afraid to then criticize his own, you know,
for sure,
political party. And sure. I think if more people were willing to, you know, take a look at both sides and do that, you know.
Well, he was,
maybe view it with a little bit of comedy, a little bit of laughter, you know, I think kind of helps everything.
But he did, he testified before Congress.
The pit burning, right?
No, not the pit. Yeah, well, like it's not the pit burning. It's just the fact that they weren't stepping up for the first responders,
right?
At the Twin Towers at 9/11, and there wasn't anything funny about what he was talking about. He was so pissed off at these, you know, at the people, the congressmen that were on this committee, that they just wouldn't bring this bill to the floor of the House to get it passed.
Right.
And he just gave it to them hammer and tongs, and rightfully so. I mean, for sure, rightfully so. But
one, he's no slouch. I mean, he's smart.
He's a super smart guy.
Individual. And he's well-researched. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that ability to look at it from both sides, it makes a difference because it allows you to see the argument before it even starts and be like, oh, no, wait, I know where you're going with this. So I've already gone there. So let's take it here.
Yeah.
You know,
no, he's good at, you know, not letting, you know, when they ask a question and you don't get an answer, you know, you're getting some bullshit deal.
Just talking.
Just talking points.
Yeah.
You know, he holds their feet to the fire and doesn't let them get away with it.
Yeah, well,
and there's so many people that just...
They just end up looking like idiots because they just keep spewing out their talking points. And it's just...
Yeah, but they don't...
You realize that they're wrong because they can't... They don't have anything
else to say. But they do look totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, those people like that, they don't care.
Well, they're also not going to say, look...
Yeah.
The reason why I'm not doing it is because they're paying me not to do it. So that's why I'm getting lobbied. I'm getting money from over here. So what are they going to say to their constituents? That's what's going on.
Yep.
No, they're not going to say that.
But comedy transcends just comedy, and it's into social commentary And
I mean, it's
to a large extent, there's been, you know, some of these comics or comedians have been very influential in changing, you know, the norms in society, you know, pushing things because they felt that they were the right things to push, and comedy was the perfect way to push them.
I think one of the best things about comedy is how provocative it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you hope, and I think most comedians that are trying to make a, you know, trying to really break in, it's not just about the comedy.
Well, the one I don't want to leave out for certain is Dave Chappelle.
And of course.
Dave Chappelle is, you know, he's right up there with Richard Pryor the social commentary guys.
He could be on the Mount Rushmore.
He could be. He's an amazing guy, and his commentary on the trans issues is legend. It is just legend.
So what is your Mount Rushmore of comedy? What would you say if you had to pick four guys?
I would say. Well, you mean just four people?
Well, it's your Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So it's like, who are the influential comics?
Well,
I mean, this is as you see it.
I would have to put, I know this is not going to go over well.
This is going to be controversial.
Bill Cosby would be one.
Shots fired.
I would say Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
I want to put George Carlin up there just because of his, you know, social commentary and his wit and
that's
stuff.
That's a bad thing.
Now, the only question is, would I put Chappelle or Bill Burr?
Oof.
I think I'd have to say Chappelle.
Okay.
Because Burr is, he takes on some interesting pieces of culture, but I think Chappelle makes some pretty compelling commentary on life and people and, you know, what I think his deal is, it seems to me that his deal is, you know, don't take yourself so freaking seriously.
Right.
You know, don't start telling me how I got to live my life, you know, when my life doesn't touch yours. You know, just, you got your life, you know, you as long as I'm not getting in your shit, you know, and creating problems, although he does push the edge of the envelope. But
I would think you'd be a good comic if you didn't.
I would say that would be my Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
I know I'm leaving somebody out. I mean, I'd love to put, I think back, you know, to the guys from the Borscht Belt, you know, try to pick guys from different eras. And I'm guys that there was a guy named Alan King that was a story, you know, more of a storyteller, you know, would not one liners. He was really, really good. I think he was head of, God, there's a group, a comedy. It's like a group of comics that get together. The Friars Club.
Mm.
And he headed up the Friars Club for years, and they would give, you know, they'd have on, what is it when you torch somebody?
A roast.
A roast. So that was their deal. They would have a roast, and they'd bring on, you know, they'd have up famous comics that would be roasted. And man, they'd bring on some people that would just torch them. But I can't think of the name. These are, there was one guy named Greg Giraldo. I think one of his specialty was roasting people.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Alan King from the Borscht Belt guys. And then.
Like Don Rickles.
Oh yeah. Well, Rickles was in a class of his own. There wasn't anybody that did humor like that. He was it. I think he was the one and only. In that genre. We saw him. He was in Jacksonville. Mom and I went, and he really didn't do well that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jacksonville is not his kind of a venue.
Definitely. I mean, what about people like Billy Crystal and Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, Robin Williams. There, oh, my God.
There's like all these. You know, I remember the, you know, they used to do those comedy specials on HBO, you know.
Where, Live Aid.
Yeah, or something
Like that. Live Aid, And, oh, Billy Crystal was, he did a movie, I remember, with a guy named Gregory Hines, who was a dancer.
Uh-huh.
And they were fabulous. I was hoping they would do at least three or four more, but wasn't to
be. They were cops.
But it was,
that was Billy Crystal and
Gregory Hines. That's who I was talking about. Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. But Billy Crystal, I mean,
I remember his HBO special when he came out, in the 80s when he came out with it. And I always thought that was.
Well, he started out on that TV show called Soap.
Right.
And he played a gay guy. And he was really, really, really funny. And then he did that takeoff on Fernando Llamas. You look marvelous.
Right.
You know, that was one of his shticks. And he was definitely terrific. He was very good, but I wouldn't put him on my
Mount Rushmore.
Nah, I mean, he did more. I classified him more as an actor, you know, because he would do those. Did you ever see him when he did Sammy Davis Jr. And put on blackface, and he got in a lot of trouble for that from some quarters of the black community, you know, saying he was basically doing what was it called? I mean, blackface is what it was called.
Right.
But I forget there was a term for it.
Because don't get stuck on it.
They put on shows and with blackface. But anyhow, so my point is even though I loved his comedy and I thought he was funny and his movies were good, I enjoyed his movies as well. But he wouldn't be on my Mount Rushmore.
And then there's other people like Martin Short. Steve Martin.
Yep. You know, I think they're extremely funny guys and sketches, you know, especially on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Incredibly funny guys. But I watched a couple of their shows, you know, Steve Martin and Martin Short, and they're great. But it's what I would call mildly amusing. You
right.
know, it's. Would I pay to see them? I don't know. Probably not. Maybe if you bought tickets, I'd go. But I don't know anybody, that say would come to Savannah that I would. It's probably something I wouldn't mind trying out, you know, if there was a comedy club.
Yeah. Well, you know who does regular comedy?
Who?
Rabbi.
Oh, that's right.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, I've never seen his act. Well, there must be a comedy club.
There is, yeah. He does regular comedy.
We'll have to go.
Okay.
You want to be my guest?
I'll go, sure. Why not?
We'll have to pick a night and see a night when he's there so we can catch his act and then maybe see some other comedians and see if anybody strikes our fancy.
All right. It's a deal. It's a date.
I have to put this has nothing to do with comedy.
Oh, boy.
But I happen to... Yeah, I love music, and I happen to be just stumble across a video of this woman who was doing a cover of a Carpenters song.
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned
that to me. Tori Holub. Her last name is spelled Holub.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of our listeners are Carpenters fans or enjoy Carpenters music, they have got to check her out. On YouTube and or I guess Instagram, and she absolutely is like 98% Karen Carpenter. So it's an amazing listen, and she's done some amazing covers with her singing all of the parts.
Okay,
so she's amazing, and so we can end this with that.
No funny business.
There's nothing,
no comedy there.
Nothing funny.
No.
I've kind of.
No. That's it. We went through it.
The comedy just kind of, I'm pooped.
There it is. All right. Well, till next time.